Hey, this is Jay Young with King Operating. Have you ever considered paying less money in taxes? Would you like to do what the wealthy do and invest in oil and gas? Go on our website, kingoperating.com, and get my book about our model, ADD, Acquire, Develop, and Divest, or call our number 214-420-3000 to talk to somebody today about investing in oil and gas and saving money on your taxes.
The Jay Young Show is a weekly podcast featuring insightful discussions with anyone from big business CEOs, celebrities, to military heroes. Each interview is a personal conversation about business, life, and anything in between. And now, your host, Jay Young.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Jay Young Show. And no, you are not seeing things. I am talking today. This is Kim Francis, and I have flipped the mic on Jay Young, and we are here for the Jay Young Show, a new episode, and we are going to talk about Jay's background in the oil and gas business, his founding King Operating Corporation, and some of the cool projects that they have coming up for 2020. But we thought it would be great because every week you see Jay interviewing someone else, and it's not an opportunity for you to really get to know who Jay is and also what King Operating, who sponsors the Jay Young Show, is all about. So, Jay, welcome to your show.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks for having me, maybe.
I know, yes. It's a little awkward,
yeah,
right?
It is.
Well, let's talk about you growing up. Tell us a little bit about you and your background.
So my great-grandfather started in the oil and gas business back over 100 years ago, and he migrated to Permian Basin to, and wasn't known as the Permian. It's known as the Permian Basin back then, but wasn't producing anything right. Like what it is today, but it was back then, and then he was a lifer. I mean, meaning that he spent every day of his career in the oil and gas business, as my grandfather did as well. My dad was in and out of it, but when you have a great-grandfather that has 12 kids.
That's a lot of kids.
That's a lot of kids. And before TV,
that's a lot of food to put on the table.
That's a lot of food, yeah. But it's a big stretch. I mean, yeah. Like from 80 to 56 or 24 years or something.
Wow.
But anyway, because my grandmother was 80 and my great-uncle was 56. So, big spread in between kids. Not a lot of twins and all that.
Yeah.
But if you're a man, you're in the oil business, and if you're a woman, you're married to somebody in the oil business. So from that, you have tons of cousins and everybody that's in the oil business. So we spent a lot of our time in the oil business. My grandfather on my mom's side had a True Value hardware store, and which is different than the oil business, but we still grew up where my grandfather, that I spent a lot of time with my grandfather.
True Value's been around. I mean, they were around long time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And this was in what city?
Sulphur Springs.
Okay.
Sulphur Springs, Texas. And I graduated there in 81, went to school in a few different schools, and finished up at Angelo State University in 85.
Okay.
Spent a few years in the stock business because oil and gas wasn't really good back then.
Right.
And then when I got in the oil business in 89, then things started taking off and started, it was up and down but it's just a fascinating business.
You in West Texas, in the middle of the Texas heat, you sold fire alarms, I think, right? Door to door.
I did, yeah.
So you really learned in sales. You cut your teeth on, door to door's hard. And you got a lot of no's, and you probably lost a lot of weight from the heat.
San Angelo, Abilene, Midland, we knocked on a lot of doors selling fire alarms because you're trying to sell a fire alarm system for a house, and you're going to doors and you're knocking on them and you're wanting to show them a free film. If they'll get a free sticker. We're giving away stickers to somebody that would see a film. So you'd bring your projector in. Now you could, literally do it on your phone.
You needed a lot of space for that projector.
The camera and everything. But you had to get the mother and the father, the decision makers, in a room and show them the film on fire safety. And there's more families died in fires last year than the Vietnam War. I mean, there's tons of fires and you'd scare them.
You'd scare them to death to want the fire alarm system.
To get your sticker and then hopefully buy your fire alarm.
That's right.
So that's kind of how I got through college was doing that.
All right. So after college, when did you know that you wanted to stay in the oil and gas business? Because I know your brother owns a radio station.
Right.
So he's not in the business.
Right.
And you decided to stay in the business. When did you make that kind of defining decision?
Yeah, my brother, basically Chad, who's been on the show before, Chad Young, he worked a lot in my grandfather's True Value Hardware store in Sulphur Springs. Then Walmart came in and just pretty much, you know.
Yeah.
And I started there in 85, you know, for about a little less than a year. And you see Walmart, you know, Walmart was selling things over on their shelves for less than we could buy it for.
No way. How do you stay in business? You can't.
They're buying drills. They're selling drills for 20, and we're buying the same drill for 25. I mean, it doesn't matter how many.
Yeah, that's tough.
No matter how many. Not a good situation. So I left, and I went into the stock business because I always loved the stock business and oil and gas and real estate. Investments was my, because I almost have a finance degree. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know that, but I'm real close to getting my finance degree, and I probably could go back and get a finance degree. If I wanted to, it wouldn't take very long. But I've always liked investments. So when I made the decision to get out of the stock business, I wanted to go into real estate or oil and gas because I thought, man, and I had the background in oil and gas because my grandfather took me out to the oil field a lot, you know, because back then you had the 3-speed on the column. The pickups with the 3-speed, you know,
and actually, if you put that into gear, the car would go. I made a mistake of doing that one time. I got in big trouble with my mother. But it wasn't a brake. It would go.
So, and that's what happened. So, you know, he would let me drive when I was probably 12 or 13. When I was tall enough to hit the pedals and work the clutch, he would let me go to the oil field with him.
Oh, cool.
You know, so I was like, man, I want to go to the oil field.
Yeah.
Well, because I want to drive.
You want to drive.
Yeah, I want to drive. I don't want to go to the oil field. But he put me to work, you know, when I got out there, which is great. I learned a lot about the oil field, learned a lot about how to, you know, about wells. And he was pretty much at that time in his career was a pumper, which means that he would go around to every well every time and look at it. And in the book, I really mention a lot about my grandfather and growing up. And he's kind of like the oil whisperer.
Yeah.
Because he would go by and he would put the window down and he'd listen to a well and know everything there
that was going on.
If there was something wrong with it or
that's
something.
That's super cool.
You know, and I'd go, Granddad, what are you listening to? You know, and he'd go, oh man, listen to that well. And
that's
something. Goes, you know, like that. So he could listen to it and make sure. But then you'd have to measure each day how much oil and gas that well made.
Okay.
So you'd measure it today. It'd go up on a tank. You know, you have an oil tank.
Because there wasn't a lot of technology then. I mean, you literally did it by hand.
Oh, yeah. And had everything's done by
measure. Hand. I mean, how they measure things then?
So you drop a deal down into the tank. So you go up on the tank. You go walk up on the ladder on the tank, and you go across the tank, and then you put this thing down, and it shows goes all the way down to the bottom.
The depth.
And it says, okay, so the oil is 4 feet from the top.
Okay.
And you say, okay, well, I think it's for each inch, it's like 1.67 barrels, something like that.
Okay.
So if it's 10 inches.
And they do that
like
every day.
Every day. And you have to send in do the reports every week and then send them into his place.
Okay.
For business.
Interesting.
Gulf.
So you're watching all of this.
Yeah.
And then obviously Walmart kind of dwindled the True Value. So did you just go, this makes sense. I'm kind of enjoying this.
Yeah, the stock business and then the old business. And then I really loved it. I really loved the old business because drilling wells and geology and engineering and geophysical, the land. And it's just a great project. We'll go to this project in a minute.
Yeah.
And you'll get excited because seeing these kind of projects put together and seeing it all the way through is real exciting. You know.
So you founded King back about 23 years ago.
Yeah, I started as an entrepreneur in 95, selling deals. And then in 96, literally started King Operating Corporation.
How'd you come up with the name?
So we were on a rig, me and Eric Castillo, who's since passed. Me and him were on a rig in 96, 97, 95, 96. And we were on a rig in Fort Worth Basin. And Castillo said, hey, he said, let's start our own rig company. And I said, rig? What do you mean? He goes, man, I can see it right now. King Drilling Company on the side of this rig. Because it was whatever Patterson or whoever the rig was at the time.
You saw someone else's name at the time. Yeah, and he's like, let's put this up
Let's put our King Drilling Company up here. And so we looked at the deal and I decided to pass on it. But
the
name
stuck.
King, you know, King. And then king operating, so.
Listen, the king is the king. Right? So you want to be at the crown, and you got to tell everybody. So you want to be at the height of your of the deal. So king, okay, awesome. Yeah, so you started the company.
King operating.
And that was in 96.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, let's say the first 10 years of the company, what was going on in the world in terms of energy? I mean, you've really seen the ups and downs in this business. And this business is not for the faint of heart. That's
very true. Because we've drilled a lot of wells. We drilled some wells down in South Texas. We drilled wells in West Texas. We bought a deal. I mean, we bought a deal in 2003. Around 2000, 2001, something like that, in Scurry County. And we drill wells, and the wells wouldn't do very much, you know. And then we start drilling horizontal, and then you start drilling, then you start fracking, and you're drilling a different formation.
Because you're trying to get to the oil, so you have to do different things.
Right. You're trying to make sense of the investment. What our goal is to prove up an area and sell it.
Okay.
I mean, that's, or sell half of it and keep some and, you know, get some income off of it. So that's always been our goal, put enough acreage together to do that. And I tell you, the biggest story is the Sprayberry project we had in Martin County. It was a few thousand acres on the Holt Ranch, but the Holt Ranch and the Mabee Ranch in Midland, in Martin County, just north of Midland. And we bought a bunch of acreage up there. And I remember walking into Mr. Mabee's office, big, huge family's got thousands, tens of thousands of acres probably. And I walked in. And he didn't know me from anything. I mean, he knew my great uncle, which is
You kind of cold called him.
Good segue. Yeah, I cold called. I said, Mr. Mabee, I'd like to have some of your acres to drill on. And he goes, okay. He said, I get 75% net revenue. I mean, it wasn't like I owe you $300,000 or $3,000 an acre, because oil prices weren't very good.
Right.
Oil prices weren't good. Gas prices weren't very good. I just walked in and said, Mr. Mabee, I'd love to drill some wells on your property. I'll do my best to do, you know, my duty on your property and make sure your cows and everything. And he goes, okay, well, you know the deal, 75%. I'll give you a year to drill some wells. So we drilled some wells on the Mabee Ranch and also the Holt Ranch. And then we didn't quite spend $20 million. We might have spent, it was less than $20 million. And then we ended up selling it for less than $20 million. Okay. So we drilled some vertical wells, and these wells came in at 100 barrels a day. They sit at 5 or 6, 7, 8, and you're like, oh, my gosh, these wells are more trouble than they're worth.
Right.
They're oil wells.
What is an average good – what is a well – an average that you would say that's a good day in the oil business from a well?
Yeah,
how many
good question.
Barrels?
It matters how much money it costs you to drill the well and what the oil price is.
So there's a direct correlation between how much money you're putting in – what the price of oil is to whether you say that we did well today.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
You want to see economics. And what our goal is to, like on this project, you see 200 locations.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal is to show that economically over and over and over again, where it's scalable, where somebody comes in and goes, oh my gosh, you got 200 locations. You're drilling these wells. This is not right. The 30% internal rate of return, it's more than that. But at $50 oil, we learned that the drilling costs came down on this project, and so we'll change this up. But if we can say you buy the property, you go and drill the well, it costs you $6.5 million to drill the well, and you're going to get out 500,000 barrels of oil over time at $50 oil, that's 45% returns.
Which is great.
It's awesome.
From your investor standpoint, that's
great. You drill five of those, and you tell a public company, I got 195 locations left to drill. They're like, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
They only drill 5 or 10 a year.
So you had, one of the things that I think it's important for everybody to know is that you had an aha moment.
Oh, let me tell you this too.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. I mean, I want to finish the story about Sprayberry.
Yeah.
So we spent less than $20 million, ended up selling it for less than $20 million, right? Because it wasn't doing anything perfect. I mean, it was like 6, 7, 8 barrels a day. Well, they started this drilling horizontally and all the different ways on how to create more wealth. The property sold for over $300 million in the future.
Oh, my goodness.
Same project.
Wow.
That's exciting. It hurts me. I mean, financially, I mean, our investors would have been, oh, my gosh.
And Mr. Maybe was very happy.
Mr. Maybe's very happy. He's got a ton of acreage. He's given everybody. He's got probably 12.5% royalty that he gets every month. I mean, he's probably making $10-20 million a month in royalty.
Unbelievable.
By himself. But that just tells you how that one asset right there could generate that much money with time. We sold it before we should have. We should have kept it another 5 years, learned the horizontal drilling techniques, and done that, and then we would have created a more, a lot better asset, a lot more money for our investors.
I mean, I would think that being the CEO of a company and doing this, there's a lot of intuition, I would think, but then there's also, you're taking risks. I mean, you're knowing when to exit, knowing when to sell. I mean, there's a lot that goes into that. And so I'm sure, I mean, you've had great successes too. I mean, that was a success, but you're like, oh, $300 million.
Oh my
gosh. Know, I mean,
it's a huge amount of money.
Absolutely. So let's talk about, you had an amazing success with SCEF One. Mm-hmm. And tell everybody what SCEF One is. And then let's talk about this model, because this is where it kind of ties into what King's mission is and why you're a different oil and gas investment company.
Right, right. Exactly. That's why we have the book coming out before Thanksgiving of this year.
And let's mention that real quick. Yeah, so we've talked about the book a couple times, but you have a Forbes book. You're soon to be a Forbes author. And The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing. And you talk about your story with your family. And you talk about King operating its inception, and then you talk about this new model that we're going to dig into. Right. But so your book will be out the week before Thanksgiving, jryoung.com, that's exciting.
It really is, and to know that there is a different way for investors to invest in oil and gas, there's no scalability and exits in the projects that they can invest in today. It just doesn't happen.
Right.
They don't want you to. The promoters out there that put these projects together don't want you to figure this out, because they want all the upside for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily care about the investors. And that's what drives me crazy. And that's why I'm spending the money I am to write a book because you have to have a lot of upfront costs. So I'm like, okay, I want to get my word out there.
Mm-hmm. You want the investors to make money. I mean,
absolutely.
You want it to be about
them. I want them to not invest with those other companies.
Right.
And if they don't invest with me, I mean, okay, great. Don't invest with them. I want them to invest with me, obviously.
Be educated about the investment.
Be educated. That's key. That's what's in the book.
Right.
That's what's in the book.
That's awesome.
So SCEF One, we put together a little bit of acre, like 2,500 acres. We drilled some wells in there, and within a year, we gave the clients back 130% returns.
So that's amazing.
They invested, they got 130% return, and they still own, we sold a third of the asset.
Okay.
So we didn't sell all of it. We just sold a third of it, gave them back 130% returns.
And so now they still have a piece of it.
Exactly. But we put it in with two other pieces, and it's in Scurry County, and that will hopefully sell in the next 2 to 3 years for another multiple.
Okay.
Hopefully those investors will make another 300-400%.
So I invest in that project. I got 131% of my money back, and I still own a piece of it. So there's potential. I'm going to get another return on that investment. Because
hopefully another three to four.
That's great.
Whatever. So yeah.
That's awesome.
Exactly. And see, in investors, what they invest in today is a one well deal. You know, you see a deal and you go, hey, yeah, there's a one well. I want to invest in this oil and gas project, and you go buy, the thing, and you say, oh yeah, I'll participate in this project, and it's a one well project. Well,
and you don't know what it's going to do. You don't know if it's going to produce or not.
Maybe a good well. It may be a good well.
But
it's a one well deal in an area where you have to go drill one well and see what happens, and it has to be the risk to reward on those wells, the risk is way, way, way up there.
Right.
Which means that the chance of it hitting at the level that they need to hit is very, very small.
So I would be done, I would lose my money.
You'd lose your money.
Okay.
But if you did hit, let's just say you did. Let's say they got lucky and they hit, which, I mean, hey, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Drilling wells. But if you did hit, then you get back income. If you have $100,000, if it cost me $1 million to drill one well and you give me $100,000, you own 10% of it, well, you get 10% of the proceeds forever.
Okay.
And if I can get you back 100% of your money, it's crazy good that you get your money back.
Yeah.
As a promoted deal. Okay?
Right. But that doesn't happen often.
It just kind of goes down and down. You may get $30, $40 checks, you know,
yeah, that's
5 years from now, but who cares, right?
Right.
But so what we developed is a new strategy for our investors to invest in the whole project.
Okay.
You're investing in the land.
So tell us about that. What does that mean?
Can we just kind of go over our project? Because it kind of segues into this.
Well, let's set this up a little bit. Right. So for King, this is a project I think that you're starting now that'll take you through 2020. Mm-hmm. So let everybody know what this is and give us a tutorial.
Okay, good. Well, thanks, Kim. So this is Wellington, Colorado, Fort Collins, Denver's down here. Cheyenne's up here, so we're in between Denver and Cheyenne. This is I-25, and on this side of the road is Weld County. On this side is Larimer County. We just bought this oil field right here. This, we're going to raise $100 million to drill and complete wells. We may not need $100 million, but we're going to start the process of putting all this together to drill and complete wells and to buy the fields for $100 million. Well, out of $100 million, what we're going to do is there's three ways to make money. There's the North Wellington acreage, which is our original project. There is the Wellington field, which is about 4,700 acres right here. And then there's the water supply.
Okay.
We have, and I'm meeting next Tuesday, I'm meeting with the city attorney, the town managers in Wellington, because they wanted to give Brad Pomeroy, who I'm buying this field from, $10 million to buy this field.
The owner of this $10 million?
Yes.
Why?
They need water.
Okay.
They're growing at
because of their development,
rates.
Right.
In Colorado, just type in water.
Okay.
Supply in Colorado. It's crazier than you would think.
Okay.
Water is at a very, very...
premium.
Yeah. And they're getting a lot of water out of this rake. I've got a picture of it. You asked me about pictures. And it's coming dry.
Okay.
So they need water.
Okay.
We're going to produce enough water here that we can sell water to the town of Wellington and also sell frack water to companies up here that are drilling.
Okay.
That's a third way to make money.
Okay.
And I've got some guys in Colorado that understand water a lot more than I do. It's not my expertise. We'll own a big piece of it, but I'll give them some ownership positions in it. Because I don't know, and I want to hire the best people in that position. But let's talk about this. So this acreage right here is producing in the Muddy J formation, which the Muddy J is just one formation up here. I can't stand up. They told me I can't stand up because I got to talk into the mic. So here we go.
So this area right here,
these
are different formations within the earth.
Yes.
Correct?
That's right. And these are at different depths.
The Niagara, the Muddy. The yellow line right here is Muddy.
That's the Muddy J. That's the formation.
Right. Okay.
That formation has produced 8.5 million barrels in this field already. 8.5 million.
That's crazy.
Times $50 a barrel is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
$40, $50 million.
Right.
So we bought this field for $10 million. Why? Because it has 123 million barrels of oil in place. Which we know that from studies,
the
oil is there.
Okay.
You won't get it all, but we feel like that we can get, and there's, I know everybody can't see this, but down here we've got a graph, and we think we can get 30% of the oil out of this. So we can produce out of 123 million times 30, let's say 36, 37 million.
Okay.
Let's say 38 million, because it's easier math. Well, it's already produced 8.5, which means that you have 30 million left. Okay?
Okay.
Let's say you have 10 million left. That's 10 million times 50 is 500 million.
Because the 50 is a baseline of where we think oil stays around $50.
Exactly.
Okay.
We think oil is at least 50, may go down to 40, 45. It'll go back to 60, 70, 80.
Right.
Taking 20% of the rigs off the market for the last year. You're going to see supply and demand.
Oh my
gosh!
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
And we also want to export 5 million barrels a day. I know that's our different show.
Okay.
Kim, we do, but anyway. So, if this field produces 10 million barrels of oil times 50, that's 500 million. I'm already covering my $100 million.
Okay.
Okay. So that's money. Now, where's the upside? We want to know, is there upside? Now, I know that if we produce $500 million and you only put in $100, that's upside, right?
For sure.
Obviously. But we have about $1 billion worth of oil up here. $500 million to $1 billion of oil up here that we have to prove up for another company to come in and buy it.
To want to buy it, okay.
So we're raising $100 million. Our use of proceeds is up here. We're going to drill four wells up here in the North Wellington acreage. We're going to drill two wells in the Muddy J, and we're also going to drill two wells in the Niobrara. And we're going to drill one Precambrian well as well. So we're going to drill nine wells up here.
Okay.
Two will get the Muddy J kicked off so we can get to our 500.
Is that where you go first, is Muddy J?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Muddy J, the Muddy J or the Niobrara, because we may want to drill a Precambrian well. But this is the money.
Okay.
We know the oil's there. There's been studies. It's already produced.
And you want to get the investors their money back sooner rather than later.
Absolutely.
So that's what your focus is how do I get the investors' money back
right
as quickly as possible?
Exactly. So, you know, investors at 100, 200, 300,000 or million, 5 million, 10 million, whatever they do, let me tell you kind of what our model is so it kind of helps understand for the people. So we bring the money in, we purchase the field for $10 million. I got about $10 million in acreage up here. We'll spend $5 million doing seismic. And then we'll spend money drilling all these different wells and so forth.
Seismic is
3D seismic, which is what this is.
Okay, so it's sort of like an X-ray or thermography in the earth.
Yeah.
Okay.
You hit it and then a goes down. Shockwaves goes down, hits the formation, comes back up, then it measures where that formation is.
And the scientists read it. Okay.
Because oil migrates to the top.
Okay.
Okay? Oil will migrate to the top. That's why this is such a huge bump. A well came in up here when they first drilled these in 1923, 1927 is when the first well was drilled out here. It came in doing 80 million cubic feet of gas a day, which is a lot. I know everybody's like, okay, well, that sounds like. But it produced enough that a lady told us that a grandmother of hers could sit on her porch and read her newspaper from 3 miles away at dark.
Are you serious? That's
because
crazy.
Because of the flare.
She had perfect light 3 miles away.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's a great story.
That's crazy.
And that's what's in this oil field.
Yeah.
We're going after a really deep formation out here on this Precambrian well. And this could produce $100 million by itself. Just the one well.
So I invest in this. Let's say I invest $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
I'm investing. I'm going to have a part of the oil or the water
right.
piece.
Right.
This is the four wells that you're going to drill. And then you still have up here.
All this up here.
So I'm an investor in this whole project.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So your $200,000 of your $100 million comes in. We go in here and we do all this work. And then after that, what do? We either sell the whole thing and say, hey, we'll put together a package. We'll have a company come in, put together a package at the end of next year and say, hey, does somebody want to buy this whole thing?
So like a Chevron could say, Young, we're watching what you're doing here in Wellington.
Yeah.
We've seen this. We don't want to do all this. We wanted you to do it. But now we love what you've been doing.
Exactly.
We want to take it over.
Exactly.
And that's when they could potentially make you an offer for the whole thing.
200, 300 million.
Okay.
500 million, whatever the number is. And Anadarko, High Point, Noble Energy, Extraction, Great Western. We've had conversations.
Because they're already up there, right?
Yeah, they're already up
okay.
here. And they love projects like this, but they don't want to do all the hard work.
Right.
So I'm having to do all the hard. I'm doing the equity part right now. We'll come in and put this together. And then you're right. I mean, so at the end of next year, we'll have some company come in and start doing all the financials on this. And we'll say, hey, well, we want to sell it but we only want to sell, let's say they're not going to pay $300, $200 million or whatever for 60% unless they operate.
Okay.
So we can say, okay, well, hey, we'll sell 60%. We'll keep 40 and let you guys operate. And then we'll have enough cash flow to get all the work done. And we can just sit back and start making money.
Because then what happens, let's say you sell it for that and you keep the 40, you sell it to them for the 60. Then me as an investor, I'm going to get my $200,000 back plus whatever the return
mm-hmm.
is. And then I'm still going to own a investment portion of that.
Exactly.
For whatever the next opportunity is within this development.
Right. Okay. We can give investors the opportunity to sell it all or sell a portion of it, whatever. I mean, that's just what we want to do. We want to have the opportunity to sell it for $200 to $300 million and go down the road, go to the next deal, or to stay in for a longer period of time, or we can get a credit facility somehow and go drill more wells up here. I mean, it's kind of the market's going to tell us what. And that's why I'm saying, you know, very comfortably, you have to have scalability.
Right.
And an exit strategy is important.
And an exit strategy. Because a lot of them, from what I've learned from you, that don't have exit strategies.
They don't have exit strategies.
So this gives you...
You buy a one-well deal. Is Chevron going to buy a one-well deal?
No.
They ain't going to spend it. They're not going to spend the time. So we have this, and we say, okay, we'll bundle this thing up because we think the project has legs, which means that let's say the oil price is going to $40 in the next year. You don't know. I don't know.
Right.
Right. But we got in here. We're selling water to the town of Wellington, and everything's in place here. And all of a sudden, we kind of go in and go, all right, well, let's we can't sell it because oil is at 40. Let's go drill some more wells. And then by the end of next year, how many times have I been in this whole business?
Go back up.
How many times have I seen these cycles go up and down oil prices
price
since 19,
up.
Whatever? Yeah.
Price so you have multiple options within that. I mean, as an investor, I'm sitting there going, there's multiple options, which is great because I'm not just counting on one factor. You have multiple factors for the investor to consider getting them their money back plus their rate of return. And potentially, now, something that's important and I hear a lot about with these investments is tax breaks and tax deductions. How does that work for someone that's listening and saying, huh, this is really interesting. I've got a couple $100,000, but I need some tax write-offs. How does that work briefly?
Especially in California, we have a state income tax.
Absolutely.
And me too. I mean, I don't like to pay taxes. And I get money back because I invest a lot of money in oil and gas. You know, and my wife sometimes says, well, we don't need to invest that much. And I say, well, we get money back because we invest in oil and gas because oil and gas is 100% write-off.
Okay.
Now, you may not get 100%. It's not 100% this year. And the more intangible drilling costs, which means the wells and we're drilling wells and we're doing all the intangibles, which is normally below the earth,
okay,
is everything you can't see is intangible. So intangibles is a write-off. But investors can write this off 100%. They love these kind of projects.
So if I gave you $200,000 tomorrow for this project, and then I know that 2019 ends, I'll have a percentage. I'll get to write off, up to
75%?
75% this year.
This year.
And then I'll still have a write off for the following year.
Right. You'll write off 100%.
Okay.
But just the first year, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I know some guys that write off 100%.
Which, if you live in California, you live in Minnesota, some of these higher tax states, that's a real benefit
50%.
To them,
yeah,
right?
You're paying 36, 35, 12.
Lowering back down to that 30% tax bracket.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, I know some guys that just write off 100% the first year. Not that I'm recommending that anybody do that, but they just go, "Hey, I invested oil and gas and write off 100% because they don't want to go through the 5-year depreciation on your tangible drilling. They just write it all off first year. You know, just to show and so
this is exciting, you know, and so if someone's watching and they're saying, well, Jay, this all sounds fantastic, what's the temperature right now in Colorado?
Well,
politically,
good question. Oh my gosh.
You know, if I Google it, what am I going to see? And then what is kind of the overall outlook the next 24 to 36 months for Colorado?
Right. Good question, because there is a lot of people that are, you know, scared of Colorado, which is great. I like that because I'm not, and I've been up there a lot. I've been to a lot of meetings. I'm going up there next Tuesday, as I mentioned, to talk to the people in the town of Wellington. When we buy Wellington, this project here, we are going to keep the name Wellington operating.
Okay.
Which is the Pomeroy family, their name and their operating company. This is the only thing they operate. So Wellington operating, we're just kind of doing it because instead of having King operating come in here with, you know, guns and bells and you know, new money and changing up all the
stuff. That's a familiar name up there.
Very, very familiar.
And there's real estate in the name, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, right.
And they have all the signs and all that stuff.
Right.
And we right now have a lot of this acreage up here in the King operating's name, and we'll need to probably change that or something in the future. We're not really sure yet. We may treat these as two different projects to where we could keep this for a long period of time and sell water to the town of Wellington, and we could drill a few wells up here and sell it. You know, we may get $50 million, I don't know, whatever for this, and just sell that portion. Mm-hmm. But it's a good, we, under the name of Wellington, all of this is HBP. There's been 75 wells drilled in here in the past, and to go and worry about this, which is we're not worried about that at all, because you're right. you're in this block here, and we should not have any problem. This up here, we're moving to where you have to get a SUA, which each one of these is an SUA, and these are 2 mile long laterals, and we feel very comfortable. And I heard the governor speak a few months back.
Governor of Colorado.
Yeah, and he was talking, and he said, you know what? He goes, we think that, you know, everybody be patient, let this oil and gas business work out. He knows that oil and gas produces a lot more income,
right,
than cannabis or anything else.
In Colorado's very earthy people.
Yeah.
They're very strong environmentalists. Mm-hmm. So what is kind of the, what do you think the temperature? You feel like it's, you're gonna, because the media, we know you can see things and it's up and down, and people can say good and bad. But overall, I mean, there's a lot of excitement about Colorado,
right,
for oil and gas, right? I believe from what I read, right?
Yeah, exactly. So and that's right. And we have to do the things that the community wants us to do, which we're open to that. And down here, there's been so many wells drilled anyway. There's no big, oh my gosh, they're coming into our city. No, there's already pumping units out here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Appears a little different, but all you get is one area right here, and it's 10, 15 acres, or let's say 10 acres, and you work off this pad for all your drilling, and you may have 1, 2, 3, and this is every mile. This is 3 miles, and this is 3 miles up here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's all you need is these six places right here.
It's not like you're tearing up the whole development of the land. You just have key locations.
Because of horizontal drilling today, now out here, I can show you a map, and there's well, and a lot of them been plugged. There's still like 20, 30 wells, but you have pumping unit, you know, all this all over the place. Here, you can have a fence around. It just looks like an oil facility with all the pumping units and everything on these, and it's just one spot instead of having pumping units all over this area.
Interesting. This is awesome.
Yeah.
What are the next steps for someone, if someone's listening today and they're like, you know what, I need a tax write-off this year because I don't want to pay astronomical amount to the government, and I am kind of interested in this. So what would be the next steps to take?
Yeah, you go on our website.
To get in touch with you.
Yeah. If you go to kingoperating.com, give us a call, and we'll send you out some information about it, and then you can make your own decisions on what you want to do, you know, and how much and so forth, and you can talk to your CPA about your particular tax.
Right.
You know, where you are tax-wise and how much you want to invest, if any. You know, oil and gas is risky. I have to say that. It is risky. We try to mitigate the risk as much as possible. Now, a year ago or 6 months ago, all we had was this up here.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Right.
There's some risk. This is really risky.
That would have been a lot more risky than.
Yeah.
But now you have this whole three-prong approach here.
Three-prong approach, and we have 10 million barrels of oil in the Muddy J formation.
Right.
10 million times 50 is 500 million. We're raising 100 million. I mean, I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah. No, this is awesome.
So I'm really excited about that part of it. And I'm excited about the whole project. It could be worth $1 billion or $2 billion in the future. It doesn't matter how much money you want to spend.
Right.
You know, if you want to spend, and spend, of course, money and time and money, right? So we always talk about time and money. You know, and if you want to spend more time, you need to spend more money. You can't let time go by and not spend any money.
Right.
If you spend,
especially in this business, you have to take advantage of these things.
Exactly. You got to drill
at the time. Yeah. It's like drill baby drill. Right.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, Trevor Reese Jones has four rigs running. You know, when he's making money, I mean, he's got four rigs running because that's what you do.
Right. Well, you don't get anything out unless you're drilling.
No.
Yeah.
Projects that fail in this business normally is because you don't have the economics. As we mentioned up here, you don't have the economics and you're not drilling because you don't have capital or whatever,
right,
your restraint or whatever. But this is a project, and I've got a really great team. As a matter of fact, one of the guys is an engineer, Jay Evans that has joined us. Jay has written a lot of periodicals, and he wrote one about the gas cycling, getting more oil out of this formation right here. So 30-40% oil out of this project is great.
Yeah.
We know the oil's there. It's just getting it out. Well, right. You need smart people, smarter than me, to get it out. And so you give them a little ownership of it. Give them a salary, give them a little ownership, and say, hey, we want royalty and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, there's incentive.
Absolutely.
Well, this is exciting.
He's excited.
So kingoperating.com is the website. J.R. Young, JAYRYoung.com is your book website. Mm-hmm. So it's JR Young Official on your Twitter, JR Young on the website, and then kingoperating.com. And this is great. This is exciting. I feel like we got a really good overview of oil and gas and this project, which you're very excited about, and in your model. And I think I know on your website you've got different things that talks about your acquire, develop, divest, and how you're different. And you're going to be doing a lot of speaking when your book comes out and into Q1 of next year, sharing and educating people about oil and gas and oil and gas investing.
Right. So, well, if you're investing in a one well deal, see, let's say I buy this acreage up here. I buy this acreage. And I drill this Muddy J well right here, this horizontal well right here. I give you the rights on that one well, the 100,000 I talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. You would own 10% of this one well here. I'd own everything else.
That's not good for the investor.
No, I mean, great for me. But investors, that's why I'm writing, another reason why I'm writing the book is because people don't understand our model. And thank God for Kim and social media and allowing me to come up and talk about how do we make money in this business, because it takes a lot to do it. And I could sell this one well deal all day long to investors.
That's not going to be make an investor enticing them to want to get involved if they only own this much. But to say you are now a part owner in this entire
25,000 acre position in Colorado, we're raising $100 million.
Yeah.
We feel like it's going to be worth $200 to $300 million by the end of next year. I'm excited about that, and I want my investors to be excited about that. And we're showing this map all over, everywhere. I have it in my back pocket, so if I see anybody out, you know, I know it's kind of hard to fit, but
so Dallas-Fort Worth, you might be seeing this map a lot until the first of the year. Well, this has been great. It's been fun to switch seats with you.
Oh, thank you.
And,
thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Well.
All right. Well, this has been great, and I'm excited. Look for Jay's book coming this November, the week before Thanksgiving, jryoung.com. Go to kingoperating.com. Follow Jay on social media. And subscribe on YouTube to the Jay Young Show, as well as like us on Facebook every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central. We are here on the Jay Young Show set, and we're following up with Jay Young about in regards to our interview last week, talking about King Operating Corporation, oil and gas investments, and Jay wanted to just put some perspective around the Larimer, Colorado project. So Jay, welcome back to your show.
Thank you.
We talked about Larimer. So I think, you know, some questions that we got from social media is, why did you decide on Colorado for your next project?
Right. You know, the thank you, Kim, for having me on again. So I think the most important was, you know, Colorado, it's a great place, you know, to drill. There's a lot of good oil and gas up there. We call it rock. You know, I would have said, there's a lot of good rock up there, but people go, that's kind of weird. But there's a lot of great rock.
I think of red rocks.
Yeah. But a lot of good oil and gas up there. And this project has a little bit of both. I mean, it's got West Texas in it. It's got South Texas in it. And the more, I was in New Orleans explaining, talking to some people, and somebody was like, I need to know more about that particular area. And so I started talking about it, and I'm like, I didn't put that on the show last week, so I said, hey Kim, why don't I do a little, hey, guess what, I found out something that I want to explain to everybody, because not everybody understands oil and gas.
Right
So I wanted to just say something about it real quick.
Sure.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Do you mind?
No. Tell me why first, before you dig into the project, tell us why Colorado? Because I think a lot of people, when they think of oil and gas, they don't always think of Colorado.
No, mountains, right? Streams, beautiful weather. You know, everybody wants to move there because of the weather. You know, hiking. But that is true, and it's a great place to do all that trout fishing. My buddy, Dr. John Leinberger, likes to go up there every time he gets.
It's beautiful. It's stunning.
It really is. But why oil and gas up there? Because, you know, this project, and Derek can show the clip here, and we'll show him which one. When I walked by this project, I was going to an Astros game at George Brown, going to George Brown at Minute Maid, and I saw this out of the corner of my eye, and I'm like, whoa. You know, and we'll show the picture here because there is so many different ways to drill this project. Mm-hmm. You know, and so many different formations and different wells you can drill and economics and internal right. rates of return. This is all about investors, you know, and it's all about how can my investors put up $200, $500, $1 million? How can they get it back? And how can I protect their downside, mitigate their risk?
Right, because oil and gas is risky. There's no guarantees.
Absolutely.
But this project is really special. So let's talk a little bit about, I love what you said before we started about the salad bowl effect. So, you know, when you take one of those Tupperware things, you put your salad in and then you shake it upside down and then you have your cone. So let's talk a little bit about that because I know we're going to put this graph up. But tell us what you're seeing that's really special about this project and mitigating the risk for investors as well as getting them excited about it because this is an exciting project.
So in our world, we talk about geological success, engineering failure. What does that mean? That you hit the top of the formation that you're drilling for, but there's no oil there, right? So on some projects, you may miss the top of the formation. There's two different types of projects, okay? There's stratigraphic, which means the salad bowl theory, which we'll get to in just a minute, and also the blanket depositional type sand.
Okay.
West Texas, it's all about blanket depositional type sand.
Yeah.
It's unconventional. It's fracking. It's how thick is the zone. The thicker the zone, the more oil. And then in South Texas, it's about stratigraphic in the salad bowl. So if you turn the salad bowl upside down, right, what would happen with oil and water? If there's any way you could, I know you can't, but if you put oil and water in there and gas, what would happen on the salad bowl? Well, the gas would go to the very top, the oil's on top of it, and then the water's below it.
Right.
And it's trapped. Okay? That's what hit me like a ton of bricks when I was talking to these people. I said, you know what? This is a stratigraphic trap that most people look for. They search for years looking for a stratigraphic trap on a project where the oil is trapped.
They're looking for that salad bowl the line, like the, it's sort of like an upside down salad bowl. They're looking for that in their graph, in the seismics, and in these things. They're looking for where those are in the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking for them for years. And some people never
hit
a project.
Yeah. Right.
When they drill a dry hole, they miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the good news about this project is, and this is kind of all I'm going to go into today. I know we're short on time, and I want to just kind of get this out there real quick, is if you'll look. They have found it. Not me. I'm buying the field for our investors and putting it in our next PPM. But, you know, we found it. We know two things. Number one, it's produced 8.5 million barrels of oil. 8.5 million.
Wow.
You know, at $50 oil, that's $400 million.
Right.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two is we also know from studies there's 124 million barrels there.
There's oil already there.
There's oil there, and it's already produced.
Wow.
Now, the question is, how much more will it produce? You will not get all the oil out.
Right.
Right? 124 million barrels. If you got 20% of the oil out, let's just say, it's trapped. It can't go anywhere. It's not like it's
contained.
Yeah, exactly.
It's contained.
The salad bowl, and it's going to be on the very top.
Which is a drilling dream.
Oh,
because there are people are out there just blindly drilling, wanting to find these pockets.
This is a 2D seismic line. There's been enough wells out there to know how many wells that we can drill out, you know, so forth. But for our investors, if there's 124 million barrels out there and we get 20% of the oil out, it's 25 million barrels. They've already produced 8.
Right.
But let's just say we produce 10 more million barrels of oil. 10 million barrels of oil at 50 is $500 million. And we're raising $100 million.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Is that a profit or what?
I mean, it's rare that an oil man can go into a deal and say, hey, guys, produced 8.5 million. We know there's 120 million more. It's pocketed right there in that little stratigraphic hump. We're just going to go get it.
Exactly.
It costs money to drill.
Right.
So hence the investors, and because you raise the capital to go out, do the drilling. And then real quick, because this is a color commentary on last week, but let's say I give you $500,000, mm-hmm. because I'm all excited about this. Tell me just quickly, I give that to you tomorrow. Kind of give me kind of a timeline for an investor and what your estimated potential return can be, because you can't ever guarantee 100% return in anything. But
exactly.
Yeah, so how would that work briefly?
So you're saying briefly, and I know this is important.
It's the
first exit.
Because people want to know. They want to know, hey, I've got money. I'm excited about this, and I need a tax write-off this
year.
We've got
millions of dollars in this project.
Yeah.
My wife and I have millions of dollars. My goal is to have $5 million in this project myself, okay? Just myself in this project, myself and my wife. It's my wife's money anyway. But family money, $5 million in this project, that's where I want to go.
Okay.
Okay, so it's not like I'm just out here promoting deals and I'll have money in this deal. I'm in.
You're invested.
Number one. Number two is when we raise the money, and then we deploy all this into all the different avenues, right? We're going to go over here and drill a couple of Niobrara wells. We're going to do this up here in project. It'll take us about a year, maybe two at the most, to deploy the $100 million.
Okay.
We have use of proceeds here, what we're going to do with the money. All that. Once we do that, we'll go get a third-party engineering report, and we'll try to sell it. I mean, a year or two.
Because that's the King's model. Acquire, develop, and divest. You've already acquired. And so that year or two where you're doing the drills, you've got, and we have a whole plan that you can see online. And if you're interested, definitely reach out to King Operating and talk to one of their representatives. But there's a whole plan here on the wells to be drilled and so forth. But that's part of your develop process, right? You're developing that and getting that teed up to sell it.
Exactly.
Because that's where you can divest and have the multiple exit strategies for your investors.
Well, we want to sell it, sell half of it, sell 75%. Whatever, have a sale so clients get all their money back and keep on, which we did in SCEF 1. Clients got back 130%. They have equity in a bigger piece. But we want to make sure that this is an investment for them. If they can have 100% write-off.
Right.
And they can have a liquidity event extremely soon, which is what we want to do. That's why I'm raising $100 million, which is the most I've ever raised before in my life. I mean, that's a lot of money. But they're going to have an exit.
Yeah.
Now, let's say we go through and oil's at $20 or $30 a barrel. A lot of this project, half this project's economical at $20 a barrel.
Okay.
Number one. Number two is, if we don't have an exit because oil prices are down, we'll continue drilling. We'll use that as collateral to get a loan, go drill some more wells, mm-hmm. and then the next time we'll have an exit. So it's ADD times three or four, multiple exit strategies.
Majority of oil and gas deals in the United States and internationally don't have multiple exit strategies.
They don't have any.
Any.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, most of them don't have any.
So, I mean, so for the investor, that's very valuable because you're looking out, and I know get this out. You have your new book, The Upside of Oil and Gas, which is coming out in a couple weeks. It's a Forbes book. Congratulations, because it's going to be really exciting. And you're talking about how the traditional model isn't working anymore and giving investors an upside. So I think that investors get excited when they hear this, because they're like, wow, Jay's really protecting my investment, also working to get me a return, but he's going to evaluate where can he get me the best return. And if that, and then with the fluctuating market, right? So you always have your eye on the investor, and you're always looking on the divestiture with multiple exit strategies to get you and the investor the best rate of return.
Exactly. I mean, this is not like brand new where nobody's ever done this before. People have gone in and developed assets and sold them to public companies all day long.
Sure.
But this is the first time we've used that anybody's used client money. People come in for $250,000 or $500,000 or $1 million. You just can't invest in those funds directly in an oil and gas project.
Right.
Okay, so that's the difference. Okay.
Good.
In all the other models out there. God, I was telling a guy yesterday, and he said, yeah, he goes, then they drilled like 3 dry holes in a row. They're trying to find this.
Because they're looking for the salad bowl.
They're looking for the salad bowl. Upside down. We got it.
We got it.
And it's for sale. I mean, but it's just a small part of what we're doing, but. Man, it's exciting business.
And we're going to wrap up, but this is in Larimer, Colorado. Where is Larimer? If you're looking at, hey, I fly into Denver Airport, where is it from the Denver Airport?
90 miles north of Denver Airport, so it's in between Denver and Cheyenne. Great, great place. We're not in the city. We're not in the town. We're not worried about.
Right.
We've got our place. We've already drilled. There's already been a lot of wells drilled there. It's not like, you know, we're trying to ruffle the feathers in Boulder, Colorado, because those people, man,
they're intense.
Keep you out.
Yeah, they're intense. So, you're out. You're not in like a metropolitan area or anything like that.
Plus, well, this is the best oil field, and and I wanted to make sure that everybody understood the downside. I mean, can we get 10 million barrels of oil here? And we think absolutely.
Yeah.
Our engineers believe that, or more. And mitigating that risk where, you know, if you go into an old deal, you know, people are looking for that upside down salad bowl. Mm-hmm. One shot, one time, you miss it, you lose all your money.
Right.
You know?
Right.
This is the best deal because we've got an upside-down salad bowl that's already produced 8.5 million barrels of oil, and it's got 10 million plus to go.
And I think one key thing before we wrap that's important is that when you were talking about, hey, if oil is at $20 a barrel, you go, okay, maybe we sell a portion of it, you get your investors their return, but you may still own a portion of it down the road because there could be some, you know, once the market takes a turn back up. So it's just because you're one and done, you're not. I mean, you could potentially still have an asset, an investment in this deal for another part of it that you're working
exactly,
on.
Exactly.
So that's really cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Multiple exits and multiple time will bring everybody in and say, hey, what do you guys think about this exit or this exit? Or does somebody want to get completely out or does somebody want to stay in?
Right.
You know, there's all
lots
options.
Lots of options.
And that's the best thing about oil and gas. There's a lot of great upside and downside, too. Oil and gas is risky. You know, there's no question.
But we're not going, everybody say, oil and gas. We need oil for years and years to come.
Yeah, that's a different show.
Years and years to come. And that's a different show.
On that note,
you can go to kingoperating.com to learn more about King and their acquire, develop, divest model, as well as Jay. JayRYoung.com is your book website, which is now we've got on your King Operating, you've got your podcast and your book all on your King Operating site, which is fantastic.
Good.
So I'm glad we got to do this. We got to add more context around it from the show. We'll have last week's show and this segment, and it's a great opportunity to share with people that you know that are interested in oil and gas investments or really wanting to get a return for their money, and you're in good hands with Jay Young and King. So,
well, thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Thank you.